Near FM.
As I said at the very top of the programme, I am delighted now to be joined from Clwyd Housing by Fiona Carmichan. Fiona, good afternoon and welcome to the programme. I'm delighted to get the opportunity to talk to you.
Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Fiona, first of all, tell us, number one, about, I suppose, your role with Clwyd Housing, but number two, what Clwyd Housing does, because they provide an absolutely fabulous service for the community.
Well, thank you very much. That's good to hear. My role, I am the Director of New Business for Clwyd, so I have a fabulous job. I get to go out and build and buy and create new homes for people all over the country. And I have an amazing team of 29 people who work with me to do that. So we have new business managers, development officers, project managers, architects, engineers. And we work across the country from the top of Donegal to the bottom of Kerry and across from Galway to Dublin, all over the country, delivering social homes. So, I have a brilliant job.
Now, when you say, Fiona, that, and I mentioned at the start that the slot is only 15 minutes long due to COVID restrictions, it should be 15 hours because I am fascinated to know from your initial involvement with your team, take me from the very beginning to the person walking into their home.
Okay, well, we do a lot of different things. First of all, Clwyd overall, we're around since 26 years now. We've delivered over 8,500 homes across the country. We've over 22,000 residents in our homes, and we're a large charity. We're probably the biggest landlord in the country, really, if you think about it like that, and we're also a very big developer. So we do a few different things. One, we might buy homes from a developer. So I'm sure you're familiar with Part 5 of the Planning and Development Act, where all developers have to deliver 10% of any new scheme for social housing. So we'd often buy that 10%, but sometimes we might buy a bit more. So if the block of apartments and the 10% is 12 apartments and there's 20 in the block, we might buy all 20 because it makes more sense from a management point of view to manage the whole block. Or we might buy extra houses in a scheme if there isn't an over-concentration of social housing in the area. We're always very, very mindful of managing that balance between private rented, social, and so on, and keeping that balance, because we really believe mixed tenure communities are very, very important, where social housing isn't stigmatised or held out to be just social housing, that we're all part of the wider community. And I think Part 5 has been brilliant for that, because we have Part 5 homes, social homes, in practically all the big estates in the country. And, you know, very rarely can you actually pick out a social home from a private home, which is the way it should be. So we do that, we buy homes, but then we also build our own. So what we do is we might get sites from local authorities, sometimes we get sites from religious orders, sometimes we'll go and buy sites if it makes sense. And then we'll design the homes ourselves, we'll use consultant architects and engineers design teams, and then we'll employ a contractor through the capital management works framework using public procurement, and we'll employ a contractor and we'll manage that build on site ourselves. So we love building our own because it gives us really great quality, and we design and we know what's suitable and, you know, what works for us. But we wouldn't be able to deliver as much homes as we wanted if we just delivered to ourselves. So we partner with developers all across the country to buy property for them. And then the third thing we do, which is also really interesting, is we partner with developers who have sites and they have planning permission, and then we will enter into a developer design and build agreement with them where we'll purchase the site off them with planning permission and then contract them to build out the scheme. And that is really interesting because we deal with an awful lot of medium to small developers across the country. And these developers are the guys who really, really are hugely important to their local communities because they provide employment. They keep a lot of businesses sustainable, like, you know, the local shops, local services. And they're also the guys who are women who, you know, support the local GAA and support local fundraising and so on. They're hugely important to the local community. And because we give them the finance throughout the build, we make it much easier for them to operate in their local communities. And I think when we talk about developers, a lot of people always immediately jump to the big developers, but really the small development companies across the country who are providing us with fantastic homes are really, really important to the wider community and to the wider economy as well. So it's great to be able to work with them.
And Fiona, I suppose the big buzzword that has been come into the lexicon in the last while, and I actually spoke to Councillor Donna Cooney from the Green Party about this in relation to the Oscar Traynor site here in Coolock on the Oscar Traynor Road, is what is deemed as affordable. Now, I mean, I made the point to her that we're hearing figures of between 350 and 450,000 euro being bandied about this at the moment as being affordable housing. Now, I made the point that, in my opinion, humble and all as it is, that is not affordable, because, I mean, the vast majority of people would not be on a wage that could substantiate that sort of a mortgage or sustain that sort of a mortgage. So include housing go in and to do a development. What are you looking at when you, in your mind's eye, and I mean, if this, going by the template that you've laid out there, you walk onto a site and you and your team would have a pretty good idea what'll work, what'll fit, and what it'll look like when it's finished. What price tag do you put on affordable? I mean, I would imagine from your ethos and the work you do that it would be nowhere near 400 or 450,000 euro.
Well, I suppose, first of all, we rent our properties to our tenants. So they pay a differential rent, which is what's called a differential rent, which is a rent that's based on their particular circumstances and what they can afford. So it's an economic rent. So we don't sell properties to anyone. We just rent them. So we make sure that the rent we charge our tenants are in line with what they can afford to pay. So what the house costs to build doesn't really affect our tenants. We focus on what they can afford to pay for their rents. So that's number one. So in terms of affordability and housing, we have a couple of big problems at the moment. First of all, there's a massive lack of supply, and COVID hasn't helped that lack of supply. So when you have a lack of supply and you've more demand than supply, affordability becomes a big challenge. That's the first thing. And the second problem we have is that there is at the moment a problem with materials and supply chain across the world. It's not an Irish problem, it's across the world. And it's as a result of COVID in the main. And so materials have gone through the roof. And even things like timber, I know there's problems here in Ireland. We're getting timber out of the forest because of licenses and stuff. So, and that's caused a problem in timber prices. So all of these things impact on the cost of delivering properties at the moment. The big one, of course, being the lack of supply. And so we do have a struggle. We find that when we build our own, we can manage that much better. And obviously, when we build our own properties, we don't have additional fees. Like, we don't have to worry about developers' profit or anything else because we're building them ourselves. So we can provide them a lot more more value for money, but we can't provide the scale. And this is the problem across the country. The local authorities and the approved housing bodies, we can't provide the scale that's needed if we're just building them ourselves. We have to partner with developers. We have to work with developers. And in all fairness, developers, that is their bread and butter. That's what they do for a living. They have to make some money on it. Now, we manage that very carefully, as I said, with our small to medium-sized developers. We manage that profit margin very carefully. It's incorporated into the price. But they can't keep a business running if they're expected to deliver houses without making some kind of profit, okay? So all of these things have to be balanced. The other issue is the price of land at the moment. And unfortunately, land is seen as a commodity in this country. And, it's, you know, people make a lot of profit on land, buying and selling land. And that's the problem. And that's something we may need to have to look at and saying, look, land that's zoned for housing, we have to put some kind of restrictions on you know, the levels of profit, or maybe taxation on the levels of profit. You know, there's a lot of ways can be looked at. But basically, the fact that land is so expensive in the areas where we most need the homes is another big problem. So, yeah, we have a big affordability problem at the moment. And for families, if we were talking about what's affordable for people buying a home, we would always operate on, and it's an internationally recognised understanding that anything over 35% of a family's income going out on mortgage or rent is not affordable. That is kind of the threshold, that 35% of a family's income shouldn't, and no more than that, should be spent on either their rent or their mortgage, their housing need. So that is rather than trying to talk about affordability from the price of the house side. If you looked at what can people afford, that's what's affordable. Does that make sense?
It most certainly does make sense. And of course, the natural follow-on question from that then, Fiona, is I have no doubt from my knowledge of Clwyd housing that people have 100% security of tenure. But is that rental agreement indefinite? In other words, they can stay there for the duration of their life, or is it under review, or what are the terms and conditions, I suppose, is the buzzword again?
The terms and conditions are, we will give you a home for life as long as you pay your rent and don't engage in antisocial behaviour that impacts on your neighbours and the rest of your community.
And that, as they say, is pretty simple. I was just going, that's exactly the word I was going to use, Fiona. It couldn't be more clear than that, really, could it?
It couldn't be more clear than that. Our agreement to you is to give you a beautiful home for life. We'll manage and maintain that home for you.
Hold it. Stall the digger, if you'll pardon the pun. You will look after the maintenance and the upkeep of that house for the duration of the person's life in the house.
Yes.
So
yes,
the person in the house will never have to go to the local hardware shop to buy a paintbrush.
Well, no, they won't have to if they want to go and paint their house internally and decorate their house. They will be able to do that. So, you know, we want you to make it a home, which is one of the reasons we actually don't furnish the homes. Because one of the big problems with the rental sector in Ireland is that most houses you go to rent are homes, flats, apartments, whatever, are furnished. You never really get to make your own mark in it. For our tenants, it's hugely important to them that they can actually go and buy furniture. And we had a lovely experience recently where the Black Banks and Rohini development that we recently launched and gave people homes in that. There was one couple, and the lady had been renting in the area. The family had been renting in the area for 20 years. They'd been renting and moving from place to place as rent went up and so on. They'd never had real security of tenure. But the big thing for them is, I remember the lady saying to me, she says, I can actually go out and pick furniture. I can pick my own furniture for the first time in 20 years and really make this my home. And it was just so lovely. And that is one of the real problems we need to, you know, and there's no legislation that says we can't rent homes without furniture in them. But we the tendency is always to do that. But for people to really make their home, they want to pick their own bits and pieces. They want to make their own home and decorate it themselves. And that's what we facilitate people to do. And then we'll manage and maintain in terms of the structure of the building, the outside, the painting, the fencing, the you know, the windows, doors. We replace windows and doors. We've got a very, very, very detailed cyclical maintenance program where we replace kitchens at a certain point in time. We replace windows and doors. If we recently have entered into projects where we've upgraded some of our older properties that were maybe 20 years old, and we've upgraded them to bring them up to a B2 or higher BER. And all of that we do at our cost, not at our tenants' cost. We do that because we want our tenants to live in secure, comfortable homes that are easy to heat and easy to manage. So all of our new homes are A3 plus rating. And we're as I said, our aim is by 2030 to have all our existing properties up to a minimum of a B2. Rating, so that will really help with people's living expenses and costs of energy and so on. So really, if you were to look at our model and say people don't like to rent in Ireland, or not that people don't like to rent, but people don't feel, one, the security, and two, that they can never make the place their home, and three, that they're relying on their landlord. Well, if you look at the social housing model, and not just Clwyd, but all the approved housing body sector, we do that. We encourage you to make it your home. We manage and maintain it for you, and you've security tenure as long as you pay your rent, and as I said, don't engage in antisocial behaviour. So if we could translate that across to the private sector, I think a lot more people would be happy renting for life. We recently did a report on our tenants and how they perceive Clwyd and so on, the financial inclusion report that I think was mentioned on your show earlier. And a very large percentage of our tenants actually said they'd rather stay as a tenant of Clwyd than, you know, go and buy a house, even if they could afford it, because it's the security of tenure, the fact that you can make it your own home and so on and so forth. So that they would stay renting if they had the option to stay renting rather than buy their own home. And I think a lot of people, a lot of young people now who want to get into home ownership, want to get into home ownership for that whole security piece. But if we could offer them rental properties that give the same kind of security, you know, why would they want to tie themselves down with a mortgage when they're young and they shouldn't be worrying about having to tie themselves down with a mortgage? Now, obviously, everybody should have choice. Lots of people want to buy their own home. It's really important to them and they should be able to be facilitated to do that. But I think we're driving younger people towards owning their own home because we don't give the security in the private rental sector and we don't give people the option to create their own homes, to really, really, you know, have a sense of ownership and a place in their rented properties.
Fiona, it sounds very much to me like the German or the Dutch model.
Austrian model.
Or the Austrian model as well. And I mean, we have heard, and I have interviewed public representatives who have been to Vienna to study the model there. And this seems very like it. And I mean, it works an absolute treat on the continent of Europe. So, I mean, is it really a thing here, Fiona, of maybe, I suppose, that you have to move two mindsets in one go? You have to move the public mindset away from the thing that, oh, I have to own my own house, I have to own my own house. Mm-hmm. And that you also have to move, which is probably a bigger operation, government thinking around to your way of thinking.
I think government gets it. I mean, the new cost rental model that the pilot scheme is out at the moment, we're delivering cost rental homes where we will be delivering homes that meet people's affordability criteria. We're not furnishing those homes. We're putting in some white goods and we're putting in blinds and flooring, but we're not furnishing the homes. So that will allow people to, create the homes themselves. And also, again, their security of tenure, like people will be able to live in those homes as long as they need to live in those homes. And that's all part of the legislation that the government are putting behind that cost rental model. As I said, it's just a pilot scheme at the moment, but that's the idea. So I think government get it. They do get it. That there is this requirement to change the mindset on home ownership, that not everybody wants to need a home. And the whole key is choice. And that's why I was talking earlier about mixed tenure developments. It's really, really important. And if you look at schemes like Oscar Traynor Road and Ballymastow and other big schemes that are out there, really what, and again, this is my opinion, but, and Clu's opinion, we do feel that all schemes should have an element of private, social renters, private renters, home ownership, cost rental, affordable ownership, and have a real mix that gives communities choice. So when a big scheme is developed, that everybody can have an option to, maybe seek the tenure they want for themselves and to live near, live in their community. And I think it's really, really important, that whole mixed tenure piece and getting that right. And that's really what all the Vienna model is based on. It's about mixed tenure. And what's really interesting in the Vienna model and other models across Europe is they don't have an absolute threshold. So if you earn below a certain amount of money, you get social housing. Or if you earn above a certain amount of money, you can't get social housing. They say anybody can apply for a social housing support. You might get 100% support or you might get 1% support, depending on what you need. That really helps create mixed tenure and reduce the stigma. And I suppose the other thing I'd say about that is that, people... You hear a lot of objections to social housing schemes going into areas, and people are going, I don't want social housing next to me because it'll reduce my house prices. There's no evidence of that. It doesn't reduce house prices. As I said, we've got houses in all estates, loads of estates across the country, and you wouldn't know which is the social house and which is the private. And it hasn't impacted on house prices, and it works very well. It only impacts on house prices if it's called out as, there's a load of social housing, and it's going to impact on our house prices, then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're telling people that it will impact on your house prices. And really, like, if you think about it, like a help to buy scheme, that's in some ways a social housing support. Any tax relief, that's in some ways the government support. It's no different from supporting people in social housing to have their own homes. So, I think the reason we have a lot of this stigma is because of that absolute threshold. And if we were to shift that, like they do across Europe, where it's more open, more, that individual circumstances are, if you want to buy a house, What kind of support is there from the government to do that? If you want to rent a house, what kind of support is there from the government to do that? As opposed to just literally splitting the society in two and saying those that get social housing and those that don't.
Yeah, they're going to live on that side of the road and we live over here on this side of the road.
On this side of the road, yeah, which I think is very damaging for society. But also, like, you know, what you were saying there earlier about, you know, the Vienna model and the European models, that's the same in all the big cities in the world. Like in America, you know, the way they operate their social housing and the way they operate the rental. I mean, it's no big deal to rent in America. So many people rent. You don't buy your own home in the cities. You rarely do. It's only in Ireland that we seem to be obsessed with trying to own a home in Dublin, you know, in a city centre, which is extremely difficult to do, you know, and always will be extremely difficult to do. But people don't have that security of tenure from the from rental as an option, and that's why people are driven towards home ownership.
Fiona Carmichan from Clwyd Housing. Fiona, thank you so much for joining me today. It has been absolutely uplifting, I think, is the best phrase that I could use.
I'm glad you're putting housing and uplifting in the same sentence at the moment. It's great.
Just before we part company, Fiona, one quick question, 10-second answer. How many houses did Clwyd deliver last year?
675 last year, and that was in the middle of a COVID pandemic and shutdown, so we're really happy with that. We had 1,000 on our pipeline, but the ones that we didn't deliver last year, we're delivering this year.
Well, fair play to you. A brilliant, brilliant way to finish our chat today. Fiona Carmichan from Clwyd Housing, thank you so much for joining me on the Monday edition of Northside Today. It has been a pleasure. Continued good luck and continued success. You've done a brilliant job. Thanks a million, Fiona.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Near FM.